So we're continuing with the rezoning of 4575 Granville Street. On June 20th, council considered hearing from speakers regarding the rezoning proposal for 4575 Granville Street and closed the receipt of public comments. Council then recessed the public hearing.
On Tuesday, June 25th, City Council voted on a rezoning application at 4547 Granville Street. This application was for a townhouse development with 21 market rental units. The project was voted down 7-4. Councillors voting against were all three of the Greens, the MPAs Colleen Hardwick, Rebecca Bly, and Sarah Kirby-Young, as well as COPE's Jean Swanson. On June 27th, the Vancouver Courier published an interview with a family member of the property owner at 4547 Granville Street, Gervir Pabla. Gervir told the Courier that since his family's rezoning application failed, they now plan to build a large home on their lot, instead of 21 rental units. The Pablas applied for this redevelopment under one of the city's rental incentive programs. Gervir says they followed all the rules and that this kind of rejection will discourage other rental developments from being built in Vancouver. There are a lot of angles to this particular story. The seven councillors who voted against this redevelopment did so for a variety of reasons. There were concerns that the new development would disrupt a hospice right across from the property, and that there hadn't been enough community consultation, but the largest issue was affordability. Although the development was set to build 21 rental units, those units would be rented for just 20% less than market value. So for example, a three-bedroom would cost $3,700 a month. Despite the various critiques councillors had of this development, it really comes down to whether you believe an increased rental stock, even if it's expensive, is a viable way to improve the rental crisis in Vancouver, versus if you believe expensive rental only gentrifies and drives up rental prices despite adding supply. I reached Councillor Jean Swanson to ask if she'd still be willing to trade in 21 units of albeit expensive rental for what is now likely to become one mansion.
Hello.
Hi, Councillor Swanson, this is Alex DeBoer calling.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me today. I know you've had a super busy week. Lots of council. Well, thanks. So I just wanted to talk to you about the vote on the redevelopment application at 4547 Granville Street. Because did you see the Vancouver Courier article that came out yesterday, which was an interview with the property owner?
Oh, I didn't see that one. Is that the one where he says he wants to build a house there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just wondering, because the application was to build two townhouses, which would have produced 21 market rental townhouses. And now the owner is saying, we don't know what he'll do for sure, but he's saying he wants to build a large house now. I'm just wondering what your reaction is to that.
Well, what I was hoping, because he said that he was open to all options when asked if he would pay more community amenity contributions, I was hoping that he would, with a little pressure, which I hope de novo would be, that he'd go back and come back with another proposal that would be more affordable.
Right. Yeah, so you were hoping it would sort of push him to change his application and make it more affordable.
Yeah, but...
As that didn't happen, do you regret voting against the application?
Well, it was a hard decision. It was almost a 6-1 way and half a dozen the other type of decision. And I eventually landed where I always land on affordability. I mean, the good part of the proposal was A, no one was being demo evicted, and B, it's densifying a single family neighborhood. But then the bad part was it's densifying it with housing that's really quite expensive, $3,700 for a three-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the city stats that there's a 8.7 vacancy rate in apartments that are renting for over $3,700.
Right.
So to me, it was, I don't know, just me trying to I mean, the way I thought of it, which is different than the way lots of other people thought of it, I was trying to, hoping that it would, by saying no, we could make it more affordable.
Right. The way this Vancouver Courier article, which is, it's basically, I guess you have seen it, it's an interview format. And the author, I believe her name's pronounced Niamh O'Connor. So when she was talking to the property owner, basically, you know, she asked him about some of the criticisms that counselors brought up. And sort of my takeaway from the article or interview was that, you know, basically this was a choice between the greater or lesser of two evils. Do you think that's a fair assessment of this vote on rezoning this property? Like that there were only these two outcomes. It was either townhouses that were quite expensive or a mansion is built. Is that the choice here in Vancouver when we want to build rental?
Well, as I told some people in interviews after the vote, I would love it if we had social housing on that site. Mm-hmm. I'd love it if we had modular housing on that site. I don't know. I think those should be options. Mm-hmm. I think, it should be, we should have more options like that. We should have more options like that in wealthy areas, like that one.
But as it stands, the city, like the system we have at City Hall, where we have programs available to developers to create purpose-built rental, which we obviously need in this housing crisis. And those programs are things like Rental 100 and this program that the applicant at 4547 Granville Street applied under, which is the city's Affordable Housing Choices and Interim Rezoning Policy. So those are currently like the programs we have available to encourage developers to build purpose-built rental. So how can we get other options so that there would be options to encourage developers?
Oh, my God. How can we get other options? You can make motions and have them defeated.
Yeah.
You can make motions and have them ruled out of order.
Yeah.
You can make motions and have them go back for a staff report that happens months and months and months down the line. Yeah, that's what you can just try to do. And I've been trying to do it. I had one, I don't know, a few weeks ago where I was just trying to have... See, the city now has the option for rental-only zoning. Mm-hmm. So if that site were zoned for rental only, then the owner wouldn't have the option of putting in something that can be sold, like a house, or
Right.
And so that got defeated on a fancy procedural thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to bring it back, but it's complicated because I'm afraid it'll be ruled out of order again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and we have some motions that have passed that hopefully we'll be getting reports back maybe at the end of July and to relook at the Rental 100 program.
Yeah,
I've tried amending rezonings that came to us just to add vacancy control to houses or to apartments in the Rental 100 program, like to make it so one of the problems with the Rental 100 program is that the rents are high to start with, and then as soon as the first tenant leaves, the landlord can raise them as high as the rents as high as the market will bear. So I just tried to put a lid on that so that the landlord could only raise rents as the annual allowable limit, not mm-hmm. as much as you want when a tenant leaves. And those all got defeated. So,
yeah,
there's things that you can do. There's things that a city government could do, but this city hasn't done them yet.
Right.
And I'm pushing it in that direction, and there may be something happening in a month or two or more, or there may not. We'll see if we can get the votes for it.
Right. So right now your strategy, because the status quo leaves basically no options within our, you know, neoliberal economy that's reliant on developers to build housing, there are really no options where through the market they're going to build affordable housing.
And the other thing which I always say is we have to get off that horse that we rely on the private market to build housing.
Right.
Because I've actually heard developers say they won't build housing for people who earn under $70,000.
Right.
And who the average renter makes about $50,000. And rent renters in the most need make a lot less than that. Mm-hmm. So we have to get a source of revenue from the feds or the province, or from the province giving the city the ability to use progressive taxation to do it ourselves. We have to get a source of money to build non-market housing. That is the ultimate solution.
Right. And I understand that. But then, so the way to get to that solution is, like you said, if I'm understanding you, to put forward motions that maybe ask for funding from provincial and federal governments, and to try to implement, to try to add amendments to rezonings like vacancy control and stuff. Is that sort of like all you can do as a counselor is just,
well,
kind of, yeah.
If we had a different council, if we were New West, we could start implementing the rental only zoning. I don't have the votes for that now in Vancouver. We could implement a business license way of preventing rent evictions like New West has. But I don't have the votes for that now.
Yeah.
I've tried.
So the majority of council is essentially accepts the status quo as we have to rely on the market, and there's no way around that. There's nothing we can do.
I think the majority of council would like to get more housing from other levels of government. I don't think there's support from the majority of council for vacancy control. And I think part of our job as politicians is to try and change that so that, you know, vacancy control and getting more money from other levels of government, or getting that power for the city to have a progressive tax like a mansion tax, becomes part of public dialogue and becomes accepted, like single-payer Medicare is accepted.
Right. And do you think our provincial government or our current federal government will have in the future an interest in putting more money into housing? Because obviously the provincial government gave a bunch for temporary modular housing this year, but in the past
couple. They put 2,000 units in for the whole province, and Vancouver got 600 of them. This year they put 200 units in for the whole province.
Yeah, less, yeah.
And there's 7,000 counted homeless people in the province, over 7,000, and that's an undercount. So it's not nearly enough. And the feds are just, they're so awful. They say that they have a national housing strategy, and they talk about having a national housing strategy, and then when you take it apart, most of the money is loans. Half of the money is counting provincial matching contributions. And what have we got from it? Virtually nothing over the last few years in Vancouver, virtually nothing, even though they've announced $1.2 billion for Toronto. And so now would be a nice time to try and pressure them to get a little bit more. Anyway,
right.
Yeah, it's an uphill road, that's for sure.
Right. So, sorry, go ahead.
With housing being so expensive, I think people are going to see that we need more investment in it, more, and I'm hoping it can become like Medicare, and people will see the advantage of having lots of nonprofit housing. Nonprofit housing can be really nice to live in. I live in a co-op, and it is really nice.
Yeah. Well, and so with things as they are, you're fighting to get more funding from different levels of government for housing. You're fighting for things like vacancy control, different rent controls to make life more livable for renters. But right now, while we don't...
Rental-only zoning.
Right, rental-only zoning. But as
and
things...
changing the city's rental programs, which
right.
we're waiting for reports back from staff on that.
Right, on Rental 100, for example. But right now, while we're waiting for that, if there's another project that comes up for rezoning like this one, where there's the option to build purpose-built rental, but it's not affordable, is it still better, do you think, to vote against it or for it?
Well, I'm going to get to make that decision, I think, fairly soon on these MERP programs, Moderate Income Rental Housing Pilot Project.
Yeah.
Okay, there's two of them coming for East Hastings right next to Boundary Road, 14 stories, and they want to put 20% for people who are earning between $30,000 and $80,000. Now, I'm supposed to keep an open mind. Legally, I have to keep an open mind on these. And so I have to say that I have an open mind mm-hmm. on it. I can't say how I'm going to vote. But I will say that one of my concerns is that if you put a building like this in a neighborhood that is essentially a low-income mm-hmm. neighborhood, that the 80% of units that aren't low-income are going to gentrify the rest of the neighborhood, not those two buildings, but the rest of the neighborhood, and push up property values, taxes, and rents. So I think that's a concern.
But then if you vote against it, what is the alternative? Nothing gets built, or?
One thing that I think could be done, well, I had a meeting with a developer, and he was wanting to put in one of these MERP buildings, and I said, would you go to 30%?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. And then the conversation continued, and he backtracked a little bit, you know, maybe if you give me 5 extra stories.
Right.
But I think they can be pushed. I think if we say, you know, I think they can be pushed.
Right. So you think if council keeps rejecting purpose-built rental that is under our various incentive programs, which largely produces near-market cost rental, at least the majority of it, that if we keep rejecting them, it'll... Because some people are saying that will cause developers to just stop developing here. But you think maybe instead it'll...
developers always say that, right? This has been all the neoliberal tried-and-true tactic. I've heard of it I'm 76, I've heard of it for the last 50 years, ever since I was old enough to be conscious of it.
Right.
If you don't do what we like, we'll take our money and go. But I remember back in the old days when Bruce Erickson and Dero were trying to get sprinklers in the SRO hotels because people were dying right, left, and center in fires. Mm. And the SRO owner said, oh, we can't possibly put sprinklers in. It's too expensive. We'll have to close. But the city cracked down and made them put in sprinklers. And as a result, the people lived and the hotels didn't close. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, sometimes when you push, you can get that kind of outcome. And, you know, Tommy Douglas said, you know, we want socialized medicine. We want people to be able to go to the doctor if they don't have a lot of money. And the doctors went on strike.
Yeah.
And he pushed. And now the doctors are working and we have medicine where you don't have to pay and go to the hospital for free. So sometimes it's worth pushing.
Right. And I guess the only thing is that if the choice is between market rental or market rate housing, rental housing, and condos or a mansion, do you think we can still push developers so that they build rental? Because if it was like you either build this rental under these conditions or nothing, then I could see them doing that. But if it's like, oh, instead we'll just build condos.
Well, that's where the rental only zoning comes in.
Right.
Why don't we have rental only zoning in the whole? I can remember when there was no such thing as condos. You owned your house or you rented an apartment.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's
anyway,
a lot.
Anyway, those are the directions that I'm trying to push, right? More government money, mm-hmm. more city more regulations that require rental, and more little nips and little kind of little things to try and make the rental that does get built more affordable. And all the time pushing for vacancy control, because I think that'll help a lot.
Yeah.
One of the things vacancy control will do is, so a lot of apartment buildings are being sold now on the condition. I mean, the ad actually says, if you get rid of your, in a subtler way, if you get rid of your tenants, you can raise the rents. The ad says, mm-hmm. says that. And so because the banks know that vacancy control doesn't exist and owners can do this, they'll give new buyers a higher mortgage, and the price of property of the apartment buildings is higher because we don't have vacancy control. And if we did have it, so if it were lower, then they could be bought cheaper and they could rent cheaper. So and maybe even people who live in them could buy them and turn them into co-ops and things like that. So there's lots of things that could be done, and in Berlin. They just got a 5-year rent freeze, and they got more strict vacancy control in New York City. So people are doing things, and I think we need to push in those directions.
Yeah, it just seems maybe like because things are so globalized now. Like, for example, we had vacancy control, right, in the 70s. Under the Socreds, but now we have an NDP government and they won't even consider it. So, like, it seems like everything has moved a little bit to the right in terms of housing, at least. And
yeah, and it used to be that CMHC, the federal government's housing finance arm, funded social housing, and now they guarantee mortgages.
Yeah.
So, yeah, mostly. They do other things too, but they've really shifted in that direction. And we have to get everything shifted back.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, like, are you, I'm just picking up on maybe you're suggesting there needs to be more organizing and this has to come from kind of the people.
Oh, definitely. We need, we just had a housing emergency summit last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Christine Boyle and Pete Fry and I were there, and there was up to 200 people there, I think. We had speakers from the Downtown East Side and from Seattle, and we actually had a speaker from Berlin by Skype or something.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was pretty energizing, people wanting to get together and fight for what we need. There was talk about declaring a housing emergency in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing some research on that to see what we can, if we did that, what powers would it give us and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I actually I went to the summit and recorded some of it. There was also that folk song called The City We Need.
Good old Pete.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's all the questions I have, Jean. I really appreciate you taking time after, like, a very long week to chat with me.
And I appreciate you hearing this and the
But if we can get this done right today, in days to come, it might turn into the city we need. It's a saying of Gene Swanson's. I stole it, I suppose. The rich are very class conscious, and they vote in droves. And she says we never get what we don't ask for. And I say, though it wasn't us who fired.
Thanks for listening. This story was created by me, Alex DeBoer. The intro song was Departure Time Part 1 by Royce Berth. The song you're hearing now is a live recording I did of Pete Marlowe. A quick correction. In the interview, I referred to the person who answered questions in the Courier article as the property owner at 4547 Granville Street, when he's in fact the son of the property owners.
That's why we need rent control tied to the units, so landlords have no incentive or rent evictions. So let's get a movement started to do what we do best and fight City Hall back to the strength of their campaign convictions and make them do like they do in the People's Republic of New West.